Doing our project of my project, our project of kind of looking at the culture of this church and what drew us to this church and what we have as a church tried to continue and build on and what's going to sustain us. God's going to sustain all of us as we go along in our lives and what to rally around. We've been talking about a couple of key things. Jesus Christ is the way to salvation. Matthew 6:33 is what we're going to read. That's page 812 in the Pew Bible. Jesus is the way to salvation. And then last week we talked about preeminence of the Word in meeting with this congregation and the representatives of the congregation and the nominating committee 23 years ago, what that looked like, and the preeminence of the Word and the preeminence of Christ. And then I'm going to tell a little story, another thing from the how we got here, and then also how I've changed and how I think we've developed. This church has developed around the concept that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to look at a passage which people quote all the time, but don't explain as much I think as they should. We quote all the time Matthew 6:33, which is in the context of Jesus saying, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Be faithful, God will take care of you." Okay, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He just talked about, don't worry about this, don't worry about this. Am I getting this? Am I going to get everything I want? Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow." We're anxious about what we're getting. We're anxious about, are we doing good enough? We're anxious about, are we behind? We're anxious, anxious, anxious. And Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom and you'll be fine." That's a paraphrase. Now we say that all the time. Sometimes I don't think we talk about what does it mean to seek first the kingdom. So I want to talk about that a little bit today. And then if you'll just turn over just a few pages to Matthew 13, something that is something we read a lot as well. We'll actually pick up in verse 44, Matthew 13:44, page 819. Just part of the attitude. Part of the attitude of the Christian. Matthew 13, we'll pick up in 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure." It's like treasure. "Hidden in a field, which a person found and covered up, and then in his joy..." It's a key phrase, one we've been referencing. "In his joy." Your joy is your great witness. Your joy is one of your great witnesses. Your joy at work, your joy with your family, your joy even in grief. We grieve, but with hope. Your joy when things are boring, your joy when things are exciting. Your joy day in, day out, your contentment, your optimism about what Christ is doing in your life and what Christ has in storage for this world and the kingdom. Your joy. "In his joy, he went and sold all that he had to buy the field." He traded his whole Christmas for it. "Or again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding the one pearl of great value," or as I think other translations have, "the pearl of great price," which sounds cooler. "The pearl of great price. When he found the pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." That ends the reading of God's Word for the morning. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, as we attend to your Word and consider it, we pray now that your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that inspired the recording of these words, we pray He would now be in our hearts and minds and souls to teach us what the Word has to say and to enable us to live as the Word teaches. Focus us then not on our flesh, but upon your body and our place in it. We pray humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week I talked a little bit about the interview process 23 years ago when I encountered these two churches. But also there's another part of the process. When you're looking for a job, you have a resume, you have a piece of paper with your information on it. Well, in our system, our denomination, the church has a kind of a form with all kinds of information about the community and what we're looking for in a minister and what we think our ministry is and all that. And we'll be putting one of those together. You know, they're all great. I looked at a bunch of them 23 years ago. I've started to look at them now, and they're all great, and they all kind of run together. Much to the regret, I'm sure, of all the people who spent time and hours putting them together. And don't worry, I'm sure my form's running together for them too. They all kind of run together. We all love Jesus, and we're all working hard, and we want to be the hands of the kingdom, and we want to preach the gospel, and they're great. And ours is great. But finding something that sticks out is important. And the commitment to the Word and just the heart of this church came through in all aspects. But there was something on the form that stuck out to me that was kind of superficially important when I read our form 23 years ago. And then I've learned something that I really think applies. And we've been working on it as a group at some level for these last years. It really stuck out. And I came out of, you know, just a regular business job, all right? And I remember talking to a very decent fellow in our company. We were talking about balancing the schedule and the work-life-family balance and all that, something that we all, at some level, are trying to do. And he is a good and decent guy, and he said, well, you know, it's just, he was talking about the kind of 3 points, your work, your family, yourself, you know, your personal time or whatever. And he goes, you know, sometimes work is first and sometimes family is first and sometimes you're first. And they all get jumbled up. And it's just different times in life and or different days or weeks or busy seasons or whatnot. And while that made some sense, you know, there was just something that kind of struck me as, well, I don't know if that's exactly right. I wasn't smart enough to figure it out. So I'm reading through these forms of all these forms of these churches, and there was something in our form which absolutely stuck out, which was phenomenal. And here it is. I wrote it down. We expect the priorities of the minister. This is the Global Pound Presbyterian Church talking about what they want in a minister. By the way, every church wants everything, right? We want a great preacher and a great, you know, pastoral care person. We want a person who's involved in the community and has a great family and spends time. We want somebody to work, you know, 80 hours a week and have a great relationship with their family. We want somebody who's, you know, had 30 years of experience and who's 37 years old, you know, and all, you know, and all that. Everybody wants everything. Why not ask, right? All they can do is say no. Here's something that stuck out. We expect the minister to prioritize his time as follows. 1, his personal relationship with Jesus Christ. 2, his relationship with his family. 3, his work at the church. Now that's above average. And y'all have lived that. And I'm going to take a small point of personal time here, then we'll get back to the sermon. When I stood down there on that floor 6 weeks ago and said we're leaving, and I said certain things about how great this church has been. This is one of the incredible highlights. This is on the short list. And I don't know. I never say this right. I never say it the way I mean it, but I'll keep trying. There are 2 or 3 unrepayable gifts that this church has given me and us. And here's one of them. Not only, I want to try to be a decent husband and a decent father. And when I was trying to do that, not only did this church say, yes, you may step aside from your work at the church to go do that, which would have been nice and plenty. What this church said was, no, when you're out there trying to be a godly Christian husband and father, not only are we not saying that your job should get in the way of that, but that's part of the job we hired you to do. To witness to what this looks like. And that is unrepayable. And so I will simply say thank you. So when I saw that 1, 2, 3, right? The first thing I said, well, that, you know, that's good. It's Jesus as first. And then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay? And one of the things that's going on is when we say, what does it look like to seek the kingdom first? I think we do one of two things which are, we mean well, I mean well, we mean well, but are not quite right.
One of the things we say is Jesus as first among equals, right? There's the round table and Jesus is there and the family's there and your hobbies are there and work's there. And there's all this stuff. And Jesus is first among equals. That's closer than one-third, you know, just everybody's even. You know, you got your work time, you got your Jesus time, you got your family time. That's closer. Jesus is first among equals. But what that Jesus first and then everything after, what that has developed into, the more I study the Bible, the more I watch real Christians, the more I see what I think Jesus wants us to be. It's Jesus first and then everything else as part of living for Christ, living under Christ. Let me give you some examples. There are literally dozens of reasons to get married or not get married. Dozens of reasons to get married or not to get married. And they have different values and they're appropriate in different ways. The Christian says first or last or somewhere as the decide, how is being married going to help me be a better Christian? How is staying single going to help me be a better Christian? And there are biblical indications that both are true. It is not about fulfillment only or primarily. Okay. When I'm at work, each day at work is, how do I be faithful to Jesus at work today? And then we are called every now and then to step back and say, is where I am, is what I'm doing, where I can be the most faithful to Jesus? And if not, maybe I need to change. Or vacation even. Like when I would buy a car, I would use, you know, I was like, I'm going to pray about this car. And I was like, well, that's silly. And then I realized, no, that's not silly. That's a kind of a big chunk of money. We did a sermon series some time ago about where Paul says in Corinthians, take every thought captive to Christ. Work, family, hobbies, car, vacation. What's the Christian purpose of marriage? What's the Christian purpose of work? What's the Christian purpose of having money? What's the Christian purpose of vacation? What's the Christian purpose of vacation? Okay. Let me set up a couple of scenarios. In my life, and as I observe other people's lives, here's one thing that's going on in vacation. Man, my pictures better look good on Facebook for vacation. I got to keep up in the vacation challenge. Just like I got to keep up in the wedding challenge. Just like I got to keep up in the cuteness of children challenge. I got to keep up in the vacation challenge. But here's another thing that's going on in vacation. When I was working at my old job, I used to listen to people, you know, hey, it's 5 o'clock. We'll just use 5 o'clock. Sometimes it was 9:30. Hey, it's 5 o'clock. Yeah! My life can begin. And even better, it's 5 o'clock on Friday. Yeah! Or it's vacation. Yeah! Or it's retirement. Yeah! Because now I can get on with my real life. Now I can get on with my real life. And that's prison. That is prison. A prisoner to 5 o'clock, a prisoner to Friday afternoon, a prisoner to vacation, a prisoner to retirement. Jesus wants to set you free from that. Here's another problem with vacation. Vacation is where I get to do what I finally want to do. Weekend is where I get to do what I finally want to do. And that's why we got to cram it all in. That's why we're so tired after vacation. Mm-hmm. The biblical cycle of life, of daily life, is work and rest. And family and hobbies and your job or your vocation. It's all under Jesus in one integrated whole. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom. How am I going to be faithful at work today? Is this work faithful? How am I going to be faithful on vacation? What's the purpose of vacation? Here's the purpose of vacation. It's under the Sabbath command. It's to rest and be recharged so you can get back to your real life and do a great Christian job at it, so you can serve Christ in it. We're not machines. We need rest. God invented Sabbath. God invented the weekend, if you will. God invented vacation. But the purpose is not to get to do what you want. The purpose is to recharge and renew, to live your life. And if you're worried about being envied on vacation, try this when you come back from your next vacation. Go to your coworkers and say, how was your vacation? Say, I was so glad to go. It was awesome. And I am now so glad to get back to my life and my work. And I am refreshed and energized and ready to serve God and you people and our clients. I am pumped. I am excited and I am content now that I'm back from vacation. First off, they will think you're stupid and crazy. But then they really, 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 really will be envious. And they will say, what in the world is going on with him or her? And that's the Christian joy. In his joy, he sold everything. In his joy, he gave up everything. It's not that Jesus is first, it's that Jesus is everything. Jesus is not part of our agenda. Jesus is the agenda. How can my faithful in work? How am I faithful in play? Okay. How am I going to be faithful with my family? How am I going to look at the commandments and what are my responsibilities? And those change over time. And they're real. It's all under. Why am I getting married? Why am I staying single? Why am I dating this person? There's all kinds of reasons. One of them for the Christian needs to be, they help me be a better Christian. It's all under. And by the way, seeking Jesus first is not seeking Jesus the most in terms of time. It's not even that easy. And let me give you a silly example just to kind of illustrate it. Okay, you work 8 hours. I wish, right? You work eight hours. But I'm seeking the kingdom first. I'm seeking Jesus the most. Like 8 hours, and then 8 hours I sleep. You wish. All right, and then 8 hours, right? Well, I got to do Jesus stuff. Well, that's the whole day. It's not like that. It's everything. And see, that's also, Jesus gets 8 hours in 1 minute. Now I'm seeking Christ first. The other 16 don't belong to you. They all belong to Him. You know why? Because He came and purchased all of you on the cross. The whole you. So when you're, here's the good news, when you're sitting on the beach, taking your Sabbath as part of your Christian life, you could not be more in the will of God than if you were at a soup kitchen. Okay? Well, that sounds like good news. You could not be more in the will of God than if you were at a soup kitchen. Just show up to the soup kitchen too. Just be faithful at work too. Be faithful with your family too. Because it all belongs to Him. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom. It means that in every aspect of my life, how do I be a Christian here? Is this adding to my being a Christian here? What's my Christian work here? Who's the person at work that I need to encounter? Okay? Maybe I don't like my job at all. What am I going to do with the money they give me that enables me to advance the kingdom? That's what it means. Let me give you one more example, then we'll go have communion. There is a beast that lives in all of our lives. There is a snarling, controlling beast that lives in all of our lives, and it is called the schedule. The schedule. And it is not merely your time. You wish it were only your time. Okay? Got a house payment? You've scheduled a payment. Got a car payment? You've scheduled a payment. Got a cell phone bill, you've scheduled a payment. It's a mysterious number, but it's out there, all right? You've scheduled payments. You've scheduled time. It's a beast, and it controls everything because it is your life. How do you know what's important to you? You've heard me say this about 1,000 times. Show me your checkbook. Show me your date book. I'll show you exactly what's important to you. It gets on the schedule. Okay? Middle school girls basketball. As soon as the schedule came out, as soon as Laura Guyton managed to bring it home, all right, not always on the first try, all right, as soon as Laura Guyton managed to bring it home, that paper came out, I went up to my desk, I wrote in every game on the schedule. Why? Because to me, she's a big deal. It shows what's important. Now, let me tell you about 2 things that are true of all the people on your schedule. In general, you go to work, you go to play, you go to games, you go to church, you go to Bible study, you go to Kiwanis, you go wherever it is you go. Tell you 2 things about them. 1, in general, they're pretty decent people. They're pretty kind, generous, decent people, nice to be around. And 2, they as a whole are insatiable. They are insatiable. You cannot satisfy them. You cannot satisfy... And or if you want to be more honest about it, you cannot satisfy yourself in relationship to them. Work wants more, family wants more, God wants more. All right, church, let me say, church wants more. You want more. How many times have you done something and go, God, I'd do this more often? You want more. The things on your schedule are unsatisfiable. Now, let me tell you about one of the great gifts of being a Christian and one of the great freedoms that Christ gives. And it only happens when you seek Him first. It is impossible to satisfy all the people around you or yourself in relationship to them. It is impossible to give family and work and you, the time that you all want. But here's one of the great gifts of being a Christian. When you say, Christ, you're first, I'm seeking the kingdom first, in my work, in my play, with my family, whatever, you can satisfy Him as relates to all of those categories. Because He gave you your family, and He gave you your work, and He gave you your life, and He gave you your Sabbath, and He gave you all those things. And you can't satisfy all of them, and you can't satisfy yourself, but you can satisfy Him as relates to all those things. And then you can have some peace. You can even have joy. You can even have contentment. But it only comes when you seek first the kingdom. That's what it means. How am I going to be faithful today? That's what you do in the minute. And then every now and then you step back and say, is this activity, is the way our family's going, is the way work's going, is the way I'm setting my budget, is the way I'm setting out my time, is this allowing me to be the most faithful to Christ that I can be? See, He loves you. And He wants your well. He wants your well-being. And He wants your contentment and satisfaction. And you can go out into the world and you can face yourself and you can face these insatiable beasts and get torn to shreds and be unsatisfied. Or you can seek Him first and you can make Him in charge of everything. He gave you your life and He gave you your salvation. It's His anyway. You can give it to Him and then you can have peace. And then you can spend your life well. And you can have forgiveness. And you can have power to make a difference. And have a life well lived. That's what it means to seek Him first. And to the extent we do that, we'll have what we're looking for. So consider these things.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, follow then, please, the preaching of your word. with the blessing of your Holy Spirit, where if because of human error in the preacher, there may have been something false or misleading in the preaching, please cause that error to be quickly forgotten and do no harm. But where if because of Christ working alone, and there may have been some truth in the preaching, let that truth be burned into our hearts and minds and souls forever. Enable us to make Him first. He's smarter than we are, loves us, wants our prospering, wants our joy, He does. Enable us to make Him first. We thank You for the privilege. We thank You for the mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.